Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a career consultant here in DCU, and today's episode is all about getting hired as a primary school teacher and as a second level teacher. And joining me to unpack today's episode is Sam Conroy, who is Digital Learning Lead with DDL ETB, and our own Elaine Daly, a career consultant here in DCU also. So first of all, you're both really welcome and thank you very much. We just might start off with the beginning of the whole primary school sector and start off age related, you know, starting with the 4 or 5 year olds up. Elaine, you might just start off with us, you know, what is the application process in general when you're applying for a primary school position?
Yeah, so I suppose in general, you know, the first thing is to be looking on relevant websites to see what vacancies exist. So that could be the likes of educationposts.ie or looking on the relevant ETB websites to see what roles are out there. And then the application really involves filling in an application form. So depending on the process, it could be an online application form or it might be a paper-based application. And it would also be important, I suppose, to have a CV and a letter of application, because it will vary depending on the school what they look for in terms of application material. And so, you know, some will just look for an application form, others will look for an application form and a letter of application and a CV. So they would be kind of the main ways, I suppose, in which people would apply for the roles in order to get an interview.
So we do know a CV is when you're communicating your story to them, and an application form is you're answering the questions that they want answered. So how do you, I suppose, when you go about looking at that application form, what are the open style questions that you often find on for primary school teaching that kind of, I suppose, digs in a little deeper on your competencies?
Yeah, so there's a standard application form for primary teaching positions. And so I suppose the main things that they would be looking at, obviously there's the kind of standard information that's fairly straightforward, but they would primarily be looking at your areas of special interest or any specialisms or areas of expertise that you have. And then in terms of other kind of, I suppose, open text boxes on the application, they're really looking to get a sense of what skills and experience do you have that's relevant to the role that you're applying for. And they're looking to get a sense of how you'd be able to contribute to the success of the school. There's a question included in that around the ethos of the school. So how can you contribute to the ethos? And then there's another section for additional information. So that would be for anything that you feel you haven't had a chance to express in the application, because, you know, it is very kind of directive, I suppose. You're very, I suppose, maybe restricted to a certain extent in terms of the information that you can put in. So the additional information is just a space for you to provide, you know, additional details around maybe your experience or skills or whatever you feel might be relevant to the role. And it's really those kind of open text boxes that are, you know, they can be kind of quite time consuming, they can be a little bit difficult to get right, but that's really your chance to kind of sell yourself in the application and really demonstrate what would differentiate you from other applicants.
And what sort of approach would you use in, you know, writing out those answers, or obviously typing them in, but, you know, writing out those answers, like what approach would you recommend?
So I would very much kind of go with the idea of doing a good first draft and just, you know, brainstorm around different things that you have from your degree, from maybe other courses or other training that you've done, from your various school placements, and just kind of put everything down first as a rough draft. And then you can start to kind of define it and, you know, kind of tighten things up. And I would kind of say that you need to be really focused in your approach. Less is often more, you know, so it's good to kind of be focused, and maybe instead of putting everything down in terms of, we'd say, the areas of special interest or your specialisms, be quite focused and try to tailor it as best as you can to the school that you're applying for or the role that you're applying for. And really kind of focus on asking yourself, what are the key skills and key competencies that are needed for the teaching position that I'm applying for, and really kind of focus on those and make sure as well that you're, you know, not just listing off a load of things, but that you kind of, you know, are a little bit more descriptive in your approach. And so maybe, you know, give a little bit of detail around how you developed those skills or how you developed those competencies, or maybe talk a little bit about specific things that you did on school placement, as opposed to putting down too much information that the reader realistically isn't going to read. And so sometimes I would suggest to people that the use of bullet points can be useful to just kind of help keep you focused. Just make sure that you're being concise and to the point in what you're saying.
So bring us on then to the next stage. Nowadays with COVID and everything like that, what is the process at the moment, and albeit it can change?
Yeah, so I suppose at the moment, what we're actually seeing is that now that the restrictions have eased a little bit, and schools are, where possible and where it's safe to do so, conducting face-to-face interviews. Over the last couple of months, there would have been more so online interviews, or maybe when people would have been reading up on the job advertisement, it would have said that the interview would be online. But where possible now, they are conducting face-to-face interviews. Obviously while following the relevant guidelines and things like that. So what I'm finding from the students that I'm working with at the moment is that they are getting those kind of regular standard face-to-face interviews with, you know, three or four interviewers or whatever it might be.
So bringing us on to the interview itself, who is typically on, you know, an interview panel?
Well, I suppose, like that again, it can vary. You know, I've had instances where people have said, you know, there's two people on the panel, there could be three people on the panel. Typically it would be an external person. It could be a member of the board of management, or the chairperson of the board of management, and the principal. So you could expect to have typically, I suppose, three people maybe on the interview panel, and they might kind of take different parts of the interview then. You know, someone might kind of start it off and maybe talk through, you know, your CV, and they can kind of break it up then and kind of taking the different aspects of the interview.
And what style of interview is it? Is it a competency based or strengths based interview? What would be more typical in a primary school setting?
Yeah, well, again, it can vary. And like that, you know, the education and training boards are very focused on, you know, competency-based interviews. And, you know, Sam might speak a little bit about that. But I suppose for the most part, it's a little bit mixed. It would probably be more so a traditional style interview, but maybe with some competency-based questions included. So it could be very much, you know, they look at certain things, and normally they'll give you some kind of guideline or some kind of outline, I suppose, of what you can expect, different topics that might come up during the interview. So they would often be looking at things around your qualifications and experience. So they want to find out, you know, what would differentiate you from other applicants. So that would be things like, you know, in your qualification, it could be talking about your major specialism. It could be talking about your action research project, or any maybe additional training or continuous professional development that you've engaged with. And then, you know, specific aspects of your experience, trying to get, you know, the depth and breadth of the experience that you have to date. So that would be, you know, talking about your school placements, maybe talking about any substitute teaching that you might have done. And then they will go into different things. So it's really, you know, more so around your teaching skills, your style of teaching, different methodologies. They'll be asking you things around classroom management, differentiation, you know, planning, you know, how you go about planning, the importance of it and things like that. So, you know, I often kind of do a little bit of preparation around kind of competencies with people there, because in terms of kind of planning for interviews and interview skills, using the technique for competency-based interview questions can be really useful, because what that allows you to do is, you know, think of examples from your experience. And so that's what I would always be getting students and graduates to do, to be thinking about their experience, think about specific examples that they have from that experience to demonstrate the skills that they have.
So you're talking about the STAR technique there, Elaine? Or?
The STAR technique, yeah. So, you know, describing the situation, the task, the action that you took, and the result or the outcome at the end. And we have different resources and booklets and things like that available on that technique. But that can be quite useful for some of the questions. And then, you know, they could be asking things like, you know, why should they hire you? What else do you have to offer? And, you know, how might you contribute to the development of the school? And really kind of getting interviewees to elaborate and expand on their application.
Brilliant. I just might bring in Sam now. Sam, you might kind of bring us through the process of, say, the application stage for second level teaching.
I think very similar to what Elaine has outlined there, we wouldn't have any drastic differences. I suppose from an ETB perspective, as Elaine said, it'll all be based, competency-based interviews, which can be very challenging. But I think really if you have really good examples and you can outline them very well in the application and maybe have a backup example as well to take with you to the interview, then you can really control that interview. And I think that's really important for people to be familiar with their application before actually entering the day of interview. I've often talked to people afterwards and they said, oh, well, they took an example from my application and I couldn't remember what competency I was trying to outline, you know. So really know your application form inside out when you're walking in, because that's what the interview is based on. And, you know, it really, if you have those backup examples, then you'll really be able to support the competencies that you're trying to outline to the panel, you know. So that'd be kind of the advice, I think. Very, very similar to what the primary school is looking for as well in terms of the process.
And moving on then to the interview itself, you know, who interviews you? How big is the panel? How many would even be even interviewed? I know it might be depending on whether there's a shortage of a particular subject area or anything like that, but typically how many are brought through for interview in your experience?
Yeah, so I mean, any number of applicants could be brought through dependent on the number, I suppose, that, you know, is shortlisted. I suppose it's as well, you know, just to mention to people, you can apply for jobs and, you know, you may not be shortlisted, and not to feel down about that. Oftentimes there are people maybe in situ in the school already that have a vast amount of experience who, you know, might just be ahead of you in terms of shortlisting. So typically, I think you could even have up to 8 to 10 candidates being called for interview. And again, you know, there's a massive shortage, obviously, of teachers within the second level sector. So the more applications you put in, the more likely you are going to be called for interview as well. So just to be aware of that. In terms of the board, you typically, again, very similar to primary level, you will have usually 3 members on that board. The principal is generally present there with an external person, generally somebody from the board, or the school board will be there present as well. So very similar, just to really highlight though the importance of that, you know your board. These are people from a potential school that you want to work in. So obviously you really need to tailor that application. I think that's a great word that Elaine used, to tailor the application to really what are the needs of the school and know that school as well as you possibly can. And just to note, it's not good enough just to copy and paste an application. You know, I know, especially in the ETBs, oftentimes you can apply for multiple schools on one application form, which is great. But I'm not sure, you know, in some ways, that's not the best way for an application form to go in. I often think if you can make an application bespoke to who you're going to interview for, well, then that's a great idea to do that as well.
And just getting in on, say, the second level type interviews, as regards the teaching subjects, you were talking about subject knowledge here, and I suppose probably passion for the subject and teaching approaches, and bearing in mind the curriculum development and the, I suppose, the trajectory of the curriculum development when we're looking out for it for the next 20 years, like we're on a particular path. What in your experience is important for principals and that panel really to, what do they really want to explore?
Yeah, I mean, I would say to people, don't get bogged down in your subject. you know, I think this is kind of an area that we were challenged in second level education for many years, that we isolate departments, you know, and that, oh, there's no link between the science department and the geography department. So really, I think what people are looking for at an interview is that you can show that cross-curricular link that you can make between subject areas, you know, so that if you're talking about a particular strategy that you're going to use in class, that it's not just specific to science, that you know that this type of strategy is very transferable across any subject. And should you be a member of the staff, then that might be a skill that you could bring to that particular area, you know. So if it's a teaching learning strategy like assessment for learning, for example, that you're able to then say, well, look, I would be happy to lead this across a number of departments. And I know that, you know, if we have that cross collaborative approach, it's then going to be a very streamlined experience for the learners who are going from class to class. So it's really, I suppose, as well, highlighting that leadership capacity, even at this early stage. It's never too early to start showing a potential principal the leadership capacity that you have, and especially the leading of learning. I think that's just so essential now. And it's a real professional responsibility that we all have in terms of the ability to lead learning within the classroom. So I'd say stay away from trying to be too subject specific within your interview. Make everything as transferable as you possibly can.
And bringing on then to, you mentioned there that it's very much a competency-based interview. And so what approaches do you recommend in answering those competency-based questions?
Keep them focused. I think it's easy to get distracted. You know yourself, I think we've all experienced it, that thing of sitting in an interview and you're thinking, oh my God, stop talking. I can't even remember what the question is at this stage. And so that's just as an aside, one of the things I think I've picked up in many of the interviews that I've done throughout the years is don't be afraid to say, you know, I don't really understand that question, or could you repeat that question, or, you know, go through that again. But I think the competency piece is back to that reality of you really have to know your application form, know what examples you used, when you use them, and then having that backup example to use as well. And really have quite good concrete examples. As Elaine has already said, take examples that you've lived in real life, you know, take the examples that you've had in your work experience placements, take examples that you've had in maybe extracurricular activities that you've been involved in those schools, but make them very, very practical, because these principals are looking for people that are going to be able to hit the ground running. They want to be able to hire you and for you to be able to start that, you know, being comfortable with the learners, being comfortable with the staff, being competent in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. So very grounded examples, make sure that you've lived them, you know, and they'll spot examples that they feel, you know, if they start to question you on an example deeper, and maybe you haven't had that experience, that's going to become very apparent to people on that interview board. So keep them real, keep them grounded. And really, as Elaine said, I think, you know, brilliant idea around brainstorming for your application. First of all, really just vomit out everything on a mind map that you have been involved in your teaching career to this point. You know, I mean, I know you've been on a placement, but that's still a professional placement, which is a career. So you do have a career. You're not coming to the table empty handed. So brainstorm everything that you can think of, and then start to connect those within the competencies that are being asked for on the form. And it's only from there then that you'll really start to build a really good link between everything that's happened up to this point.
And I think one of the most important things you said there earlier on is, and it can get so overlooked, is a principal and the board have to make a decision on the person that's most likely able to teach effectively in that classroom, because they, once that bell goes, you're going into that classroom and you have 20, 30, whatever many is in your class, and the principal is on the other end of the school and all the other teachers are in their classrooms, and they need to be assured, insofar as reasonably possible, that you are, that you can do the job, and that you will do the job, and that you are actually the right fit for the school. And it's quite a difficult process, if you think about it, trying to make that evaluation on an application form and a 45-minute interview. So it does need to be a robust process.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point. I mean, what do they say? People have made their decision within the first 3 minutes of meeting you. So really, you know, it's all back to the mental preparation for that interview. As soon as you're in there, showing that you're confident, showing that you're assertive, showing that you're, you know, there's potential with leadership capacity in terms of the job that you can do. And ultimately, you nailed it, Siobhan. They want to know that you can do it, and they want to know that you can be trusted in that environment to deliver the best quality learning experience that those learners are there to get. And let's not forget, that is the function and the role of a school. A school is a learning environment where kids are sent to learn.
And we all have to remember that learning is based on legislation. You are required to go to school. You know, there is a requirement to teach. There is actually a requirement as a member of the society here living in Ireland. There is a requirement to go to school. And I think sometimes people are actually forgetting that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a great point. And it's, you know, I suppose it's really been highlighted in the last couple of years with so much curriculum reform around the place. And we can really sense a real fear and anxiety in the profession at the moment in terms of the expectations on teachers, the workload on teachers. And oftentimes we create a lot of that feeling for ourselves. Because, you know, as a profession, I mean, if we look back 200 years in terms of what learning looks like in classes, have we really changed that much? You know, kids sat in rows. They had a teacher leading the learning at the top of the class. And yet when we speak to many of our learners, that's still the experience that they're having in their classrooms today. So as a profession, I think we take on change very slowly. And I think we are now we're in the reform period of education with the curriculum reform that's happening, but also with this COVID crisis. This has thrown us into this reform. And I am so thrilled to say that within my own ETB, having engaged with over 6,000 teachers, the majority of people they're wanting to do it. They feel there's a hunger out there at the moment in the teaching profession. So I'd be saying to people, it's really exciting, and I think we've great times ahead of us.
I'm going to bring back in Elaine there. Elaine, just building on what Sam talked about. Now, you did mention earlier on that, yes, you are hearing and the evidence is coming through that there is face-to-face interviews happening. But in the year ahead, we could have... obviously they may have to go back to online interviews. We may be there might be some remote learning going back into the classrooms. It may have to be a hybrid approach. There may be a spike in the local area and the schools will have to take on local decisions, you know, and things are going to be quite fast moving. So just considering going into an interview now, you know, what sort of things that, you know, you might need to be considering, like for a principal to make a decision about how you're going to be as a teacher during this very disruptive time?
Yeah, and I suppose we're kind of seeing that a little bit. You know, there's some questions being asked around, you know, if it was a case of, you know, we were to go back into a lockdown or there were, you know, more restrictions put in place again, you know, how would you plan for that or how might you approach that kind of situation? And I suppose what we're kind of seeing is that principals want to get a sense of, you know, are candidates, you know, are newly qualified teachers thinking in that way? And, you know, can they demonstrate, you know, adaptability, creativity, flexibility? You know, what skills or experience do they have, you know, with kind of digital learning technologies and with the use of ICT in learning and things like that? So they would kind of be the main things that I would be saying to people, you know, just make sure that you're demonstrating that, you know, you are thinking ahead and think about the skills that you do have. You know, it's great, you know, over the last couple of months, you know, I've been kind of speaking and working with different students who have had experience of, you know, adapting to the current situation and, you know, supporting students with online learning and things like that. So, you know, talk about that, bring that in, any relevant modules that you've done as part of your degree or anything that had a focus on, you know, digital learning, mention that. And if you've used different technologies or different software, you know, make sure that you get that across. But I think in terms of the skills and competencies, really just kind of showing skills around your planning, you know, creativity, problem solving, and definitely adaptability is going to be, you know, really key. And that's what principals want to see, that candidates are just thinking ahead a little bit and, you know, they're not, you know, ignoring the fact that, you know, things could change and things could change quite quickly again. And, you know, there is that uncertainty So they just want to see that awareness, I guess.
Yeah, and I suppose if any principal or board, a panel looking kind of thing, they'll have a lot to move to try and, you know, manage the pupils in this space. And obviously they do have a duty of care and they want to look after their staff, but staff that can, you know, kind of be a little bit more self-directed on that, you know, let's face it, that's very useful for a principal to know that somebody has digital learning skills, is willing and able to jump in and experiment with different forms, you know, to try and get, you know, improve their teaching online. And how are they going to, you know, is their broadband in good shape? You know, are they ready? Are they ready to roll? Because listen, exactly. We may never be moving out of the classroom this winter, and but we do have evidence to support the fact that it may not be all that simple all of the time over the next academic year. You know, we no point being Pollyanna about it at all. Just wrapping it up there, Elaine, just from your point of view, looking at the primary school sector now, what would be your top tips if you're looking to get hired as a primary school teacher?
My top tip, if I had to just choose one, there are many, but I suppose the key thing would be, you know, whether it's doing applications or actually going for interview, or just even having conversations with people, know your elevator pitch. So, you know, really think about why the school should hire you and why you're the best person for the role. So again, it's, you know, identifying your differentiators or your unique selling point, I suppose, but really being able to kind of summarize the most pertinent points of your experience and your skills, and, you know, articulate them in a concise and clear way, whether it be in your application form, on your CV, or, you know, face-to-face at an interview.
And kind of really kind of putting your best foot forward there.
Absolutely. And, you know, don't undersell yourself, you know, back yourself. And I suppose, you know, sometimes we can take things for granted, you know, whether it be something that we've done in our degree or a certain aspect of our experience. And, you know, more often than not, I would find that people would typically undersell themselves as opposed to oversell themselves. So just don't be afraid to back yourself and, you know, I suppose, market yourself as best as you can.
Well, the saying goes, if you don't believe in yourself, why should anyone else be prepared to hire you then? You know, so it is really important. I love that phrase, backing yourself and bringing yourself in there. Sam, what would be your top tip going down the second level? Now, I know you'll have to give us a different one than Elaine, and Elaine probably taking the nice plum one, but I'm sure even other beauty for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so important to, I suppose I'm going to go back to the digital learning, because that might be a focus for me at the moment in interview. We're seeing that people are not really equipped with the skills to talk about the digital learning piece. And I'm kind of surprised because, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic crisis. And if that's not going to be a main focus in terms of your preparation for an interview, I would be a little bit, you know, shocked by that. But if that's what's coming out in the interviews at the moment. So I would say know the school in terms of their digital footprint, know their digital workflow. So before you go to that interview, and I spoke to a couple of principals, Siobhan, just kind of in the lead up to this, and they were saying they're happy to talk to candidates and they're thrilled when a candidate drops them a line on an email. They might not have the time, you know, to give you an open conversation on a phone, but they'll certainly give you some and answer questions for you. You know, the school websites are also a great place to go and get some information about the school and their policies and, you know, where they are in terms of their teaching and learning. But I would absolutely get in contact with the principal, ask them to point you in the direction of the digital lead in their school so that you can find out more information about the workflow of the school. Because I think it's all well and good going to an interview with a pocket full of, you know, technological tools and all the rest. But if it's not what a school is using, that's no good to them. So to have that little bit of pre-prep done, I suppose, would be really good. And also to say to people in preparation for these interviews, there are hundreds of free webinars happening now every day online. If you're on the Twitter machine, if you're not on it, get onto it. And if you're on it, keep following the great educational leads that are around the place. But there's loads of these online that are free at the moment. And if you're struggling and you don't know what the language that's being used at the moment, if you don't have a clue, you know, what's blended learning, what's hybrid learning, what's a virtual learning environment, don't attempt to walk into the door of an interview without absolutely knowing what those that terminology stands for, because I think that's so important. So really understand what's happening in that school, get to know it, make contact with them, and really, you know, question as well, I think is no harm in terms of, you know, if there's questions flying at you in terms of the technology and then you have something to add, maybe it's in the form of a question that you add them, have they thought about, or how are they doing digital assessment, or what does digital feedback look like? You know, just to show that you understand this whole process and you know what a good workflow looks like. I'd even go as far, Siobhan, and I've done it myself, where I've brought in, you know, if I find out that maybe there's a workflow in a school and I could add something to it, bring in a little model with you, you know, a printed sheet or on a device, just to showcase where your thinking would be at in terms of how you might add to that workflow in your classroom. And I think that would be very impressive at the moment in a world where we have no clarity and we have really no understanding of what blended learning is going to look like in September. And we're all waiting on these infamous DES guidelines.
Fantastic. So what you're actually basically saying is where, you know, you bring a lit as an interviewee, try and bring a little bit of certainty and coherence to your submission to the principal so they can actually say, right, we're in an uncertain world, but I can count on this individual to figure it out alongside the rest of us. You know, that you're on board as a team member, you know, you would be a reluctant learner on this yourself, you know, because there's a lot to be done, you know, to bring the pupils on board. And the last thing, you know, the last challenge anyone wants is, you know, a reluctant teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to encapsulate it, think of yourself as a learner. And I think that's a great one. If you're a willing learner and you can showcase that at an interview in the current time that we're in, that is just going to bag that job for you. You know, for me, if I'm a principal sitting there and I have something that has the ability, that has the willingness, that has the foresight, innovation, creativity, that's it. You're hired.
Oh, brilliant. I feel inspired now. All we have to do is just get on our digital skills. But I think myself and Elaine, I think, you know, we're colleagues in DCU and we were just saying we just can't get over how much we've learned in the last few months. And, you know, we weren't reluctant learners or anything like that. We'd have been quite very interested in the space ourselves, but we just have had to do it at breakneck speed. And you know what? We've survived and we're getting on ground, you know, and it's all about just digging in and learning and figuring it out. You know, everyone is an experienced learner, just sometimes we forget at times. Okay, I think we'll just wrap up and thank you so much, everyone. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.